Chill with Julian on the Brownlow and a review of Zone of Interest, one of the most acclaimed films to have come out last year and one of the most difficult. A film that framed the Holocaust from the banality of evil perspective of being set in a house where the garden was a beautiful middle-class colourful garden of flowers and family happiness, and over the wall was the Auschwitz concentration camp where 1.25 million Jews were put to death over a period of, well, mostly of the guy's tenure in office, as he's the one that detailed the death toll. Jonathan Glazer, the English film director, and it was a good night for English film directors, has only released four films in 25 years, and they've all been iconic in different ways. Sexy Beast, the one with Ray Winston, is still highly revered as a gangster film that, you know, usurps a lot of tropes, and Ben Kingsley's performance in it is still highly talked about. And Birth is the one that I haven't seen, which is, I think, the Nicole Kidman one, which is quite controversial, but I haven't seen it. Under the Skin came out in 2013 and was a massive art house left turn for Jonathan Glazer, the film about Scarlett Johansson driving around Scotland picking up men for an alien race. was an incredible movie that he still talked about, and I nearly opened with the Mika Levy soundtrack from it, and Mika Levy also did his following film 10 years later, Zone of Interest, loosely based on the Martin Amis novel from 2014, about the Commandant Rudolf Hess, not Rudolf Hess, but Rudolf Hess, who was the Auschwitz commander or commandant for the main period of the execution of Jews there, and was at the Nuremberg trials, initially claiming that he thought about 2.5 million Jews were put through there to their death. In the end, he actually revised it down country by country and said that it was probably 1.25 million. The guy was a notable sociopath in that he greeted the death of 1.25 million people and the impending execution by hanging, which happened of him, in the exact same, really didn't care either way, apparently totally devoid of any empathy. The framing of the film is the thing that has been the most talked about element, that it's about his family life next to Auschwitz. So he's got this dream home with his wife. The Christian Friedel is Rudolf Hess, and he is very strong excuse me, in that role. But the best performance in the film is Sandra Hüller, who is Hedwig Hess, who is the wife of Rudolf Hess. Her performance has actually got a few awards nominations. It's not an actually film. It's a film that feels like a fly on the wall, a documentary of their family life, and one that is admittedly shot absolutely stunningly well by Lukas Zaal. I think he was nominated for an Oscar as well, where the whole thing has that, you know, that endlessly replayed Midsummer thing of Florence Pugh with the flowers on her head, that sort of hyper-colorized, very bright, sunny environment. And that's obviously a deliberate ploy by the director to create this beatific environment in front of Auschwitz, and then you never see inside, you hear it, and the soundstage is just one for the ages, possibly the best I've seen. The guy that did the soundstage, the Mika Levy soundtrack is amazing. I was shocked that it actually didn't win, wasn't nominated for the score, which is insane. But Tarn Willers and Johnny Byrne, they create this soundstage which is, it's like a distant hell, but not that far away. It's all clanking and machinery turning, distant dogs barking, the odd gunshot here and there. Was that a scream? I'm not sure. And the juxtaposition of those two elements is the tension in the film. I thought that this might be an incredibly dry and hard to watch experience. I honestly found the first hour of this film, which isn't too long, 105 minutes, so it's not even 2 hours. The first hour, I thought it was utterly compelling. The only film like it I could think of is White Ribbon by Michael Haneke or Haneke. I thought his film Cachet or Hidden was overrated. A lot of people said it's one of the best films of the century, but White Ribbon, this black and white portrayal of Germany leading up to World War One and the foment of fascism amongst the villagers in this small town, is one of the best films I've seen this century. And the only one that really felt in my bones the same way this film made me feel. We hear about, you know, the daily life of the Rudolf Hoss character as he sort of jockeys for position, and he's eventually taken to lead all of the concentration camps, which is not received as a promotion by him, as they'll have to give up this beatific home. His wife, Heidwig, tells him, you know, we're not giving up the home. You've got to tell them that we've got to keep this home. And there are so many rich incidental moments that happen throughout. Her mum comes to stay with her and is impressed by the house and everything. And you see her in bed at night watching the glow of Auschwitz, and she's gone in the morning leaving a note. You never know what the contents of it were, but you kind of do. There are talking, you know, between the women about, you know, what the fur coat is they've got and stuff, and you know where all these things have come from. The children in the garden one day want to put little triangles on them so they can play like the prisoners they see behind the wall. Occasionally when they sort of see them driving past their car, they see the sort of fences and they see all the prisoners with it, so they get these little triangles like the Jewish prisoners had. There's just rich with incredible incidental moments. There's no way to describe it that makes it sound like it would be an interesting watch. I was utterly compelled for the majority of its duration. I was actually thinking of putting it in the 10 category. The only part of it that I wasn't 100% sure about was the sort of like last fifth of the film, where it veers off. I wasn't 100% sure. I still thought it was really good. I thought one of the best aspects of that last part of the film was it flips from their family home to cleaners today going around this empty building that's now an exhibit, which is their family home. Just with the banality of the vacuum cleaners cleaning up dust, I thought was incredible. These modern day women walking down where it's an exhibit that the pub, you know, millions of people come and visit Auschwitz, and they're cleaning up dust. And that was loaded with meaning for me. I think it's a masterpiece. I think it's slightly better than Oppenheimer as a film. I think Oppenheimer deserved to beat it because of its cultural impact. I thought that you know, it really did cross so many boundaries that a film like that shouldn't. Zone of Interest won't do that because it's such a hard slog to try and, you know, you've got this focus on this very narrow environment and narrow group of people. It asks much, much more from the viewer. It's not, you know, it's not thrilling in that way. Yet I found it compelling for most of its length. I found, you know, the intrigue of what was going on, and you're always living in terror of the sound that you're hearing, and also of, you know, the odd throwaway tidbit, like one of the women saying, you know, oh, she fell in love with this dress, but these, you know, they're so small, aren't they? And you're like, oh man. So the whole thematic banality of evil element is, you know, the part and parcel of why the film was made, to show that ordinary people were involved in this extraordinary event and living their normal lives and having these aspirations of having a nice family middle class home, whilst over the wall 1.25 million people were being incinerated. It's quite something. I think it's a brilliant film, and overall the best Jonathan Glazer film, an outright masterpiece, a difficult film, but I think an incredibly rewarding and thought-provoking film that will stay with you forever. I'm going to give Zone of Interest a 9.5 out of 10. And if I get to The Social Network, it's going to be a big day for scores.